Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in the nation's capital. I have been pastoring there for 26 years, and one of the things that I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. I'm glad that you've turned your radio onto the station this morning. Starting your day with God's Word is a really good place to start. Of course, if you're not a morning person and you want to re-listen to this program or get the manuscript for this program, you can find us on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with all that's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners who listen via the internet. We're glad that you have found us and that you are finding this a ministry of encouragement. This program is kept on the air by many faithful people. This morning's program sponsor is Bruce Newman, and he salutes Jericho Road Christian Ministries as a local registered charity for their outstanding service to this community. Thanks, Bruce, for honoring such a fantastic ministry that changes lives in our city. This morning, I want to look with you at the transforming power of suffering. Everybody that I've told that I'm speaking on the power of suffering has responded sarcastically, "Oh, great." But I kind of view it like writing a will. There are some people who will not write a will because they don't want to either think about their own death or they think that writing a will hasten it, which is crazy. Unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to die. And if you die without a will, you leave those who are left behind in a pile of trouble. Talking about suffering is somewhat the same thing. Talking about suffering doesn't bring it on. All of us at one point and probably many points in our lives are going to go through suffering. Suffering seems to be part of the human condition. Some of you are there right now. Most of you have been through or will go through suffering. I know I'm just chock full of encouragement this morning. Now, as I talk about suffering, I don't intend to take on the big metaphysical questions on the problem of evil. Some say that if we say God is all powerful and God is love and that there's suffering in the world, that only that one of those statements has to be false. And as if one can sum up the complexities of our world, the mysteries of the spiritual realm, the reality of spiritual evil like Satan and his demons, human free will, human fallen nature, as if we can sum those up in three measly statements. Today, I'm simply going to put my faith in God's Word and declare to you that God loves you deeply. And in spite of that fact, you are going to suffer. In fact, 1 Peter comes along and says, "Don't be surprised when fiery trials come along. Suffering is going to happen." And we really shouldn't be surprised because the one who we follow as Christians was shunned, betrayed, whipped, beaten, and crucified. If that happened to our Lord, we should not expect to get a pass on suffering. And here's the weird thing about suffering. You know, some of you could handle the suffering that I've been through without breaking a sweat. And I may be able to handle the suffering that you've been through without hardly any angst. But the suffering that comes to us often feels like it's tailor-made to hit our deepest insecurities, our softest spots, and sometimes take on our biggest idols. Let's start with Scripture. I'm going to walk you through James chapter 1 today. And it starts reading in James chapter 1, verse 2. "Dear brothers and sisters," this is the New Living Translation, "when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Consider pure joy is how the NIV puts it. Consider pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we talk about the power of suffering, I'm talking about the power of suffering to transform you into something good. The power of suffering to produce in you spiritual maturity. I sincerely doubt that you can become spiritually mature without suffering. James says that what suffering produces is something worthy of great joy or pure joy. He is not saying be happy about your pain. That's not what he's saying. But he does say that your pain can produce something of great value. I want to walk you through the scripture fairly quickly, and then I want to share some wisdom with you on suffering. James was speaking to brothers and sisters. He's speaking to Christians. And he says, troubles and trials of many kind are going to come your way. When that happens, your faith will be tested. Now, you need to know that troubles and trials come to everybody. Christian or not, it's part of the human condition. But when trials and troubles come to Christians, it tests their faith. See, for many people without faith, they ask questions like, what did I do to cause this? Or why me? But Christians ask different questions, usually about the love of God. Or what is God up to? Or is this a punishment for my sin? Or what good is faith if it leaves me in this pain? In the middle of suffering, faith gets tested. And I think the big question is God good even when life hasn't been good to me? In the middle of suffering, you will have to answer that question. Will I trust in the goodness of God? There's this call and response heard in Christian circles. It goes like this. God is good, and the response is all the time. Then the call comes all the time, and the response is God is good. My journey has taken me through many periods of darkness and pain. When you're in the middle of pain and God doesn't seem to be doing anything, you have to wrestle with the question, is it true? Is God good all the time? I've wrestled with it. I believe it to be true. I also believe that there is a mystery because there is so much that we don't understand. But I know this, suffering tests faith. And the reality is that when suffering comes, the only thing you can do is endure it. Sure, if you can change something, then change it if it's moral to do so. You know, if you're walking with a stone in your shoe, you stop and take the stone out of your shoe. You don't say, oh, I'm suffering, I'll just endure, it's going to produce something good. No, of course not. But most of life's sufferings aren't that easily fixed. On the other hand, if you have a boss who's making your life miserable, you cannot morally hire a hitman to eliminate the problem. The things you learn on Good News in the Morning. Well, when it comes to suffering, sometimes the only way through is through. The only thing you can do is endure. Usually in times like these, we need wisdom. So James goes on in James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled and as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed about by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. In the middle of our suffering, we ask God for wisdom. But often the only answer that comes back is endure. But even the asking for wisdom is part of the spiritual journey. You know, sometimes suffering has to do with our finances. Sometimes we think if we had more, we could get rid of our problems. Sometimes when we think we're in danger of losing what we have, it causes great angst. In the middle of this passage on suffering, James reminds us, verse 9, James chapter 1, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers, a little flower droops and fails, and its beauty fades away. It's the same. The rich will fade away with all their achievements. Basically, he is saying, you have value, and it's not in your money. Remember that in your money problems. Goes on to say, verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The promise is that you will be blessed for enduring testing and trials, and you will receive a crown of life. Verse 13 goes on to say, and remember when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. The word tempted is, it has the same root word as trials of many kinds. It is usually a mistake to say that God is making these trials happen or these temptations happen to me. I would also challenge the notion that some people have that God is punishing me. If that were true, every believer would be looking for a rock to hide under. The result of the fall goes far deeper in our lives than we may think. But I'll tell you this, God will use suffering in your life, if you will let him, to produce something worthwhile. He will produce eternal good. James goes on to talk about the nature of temptation, verse 17. And then he goes on and says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all his creation, became his prized possession. If it is good, it comes from God. And here's what the Word of God says about you. Out of all creation, you are his prized possession. The technical translation of that is, we became the first fruit of his creation. Translated, you are his prized possession. In the middle of suffering, that is really hard to remember. As Eugene Peterson says, the mistake we so often make is thinking that the God's interest and care for us waxes and wanes according to our spiritual temperature. But it doesn't. You are God's prized possession. That's hard to remember and harder to believe in the middle of trouble, but it's true. It's very true. We're going to take a musical break here and listen to a group called Selah, and they're going to sing Be Still My Soul and What a Friend. Let me share with you some of the wisdom that I have learned about suffering. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." First thing I want you to know is that God has a purpose in mind for our suffering. Although God doesn't usually cause our suffering, He wants to use the suffering that comes our way for a bigger purpose. Many of you will be familiar with Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. This verse is a great verse to know and remember. It is often a very bad verse to quote when somebody is really suffering. It comes across as a trite platitude, but God has a purpose for your life, and He will use your suffering to do great things in your life and to help you to achieve your purpose in life. The way that James chapter 1, verse 4 expresses this is that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, one of my favorite topics to speak about is spiritual maturity. I love talking about the six characteristics of spiritual maturity and about the purpose of spiritual maturity and the process of spiritual maturity. However, for today, let me say that one of God's purposes in your life is to make you spiritually mature. You know, positionally, we tend to fall into one of three categories. We are either feelers or doers or thinkers. We tend to be governed by our will or our emotion or our mind, and depending on what type of person you are, will depend on what you think is the best. It depends on what culture you grew up in as well. You know, in the late 60s, at the height of modernism, Star Trek portrayed Spock as the ideal man. He was logic devoid of emotions. Now, when Star Trek The Next Generation came along in the late 80s with postmodernism on the ascendance, Data was completely logical. He was always, though, looking to become human by finding emotions. But from Marcus Aurelia and the Spartans to many of the business peoples of our day, and most athletes, by the way, it's not about what you think or what you feel. It's about what you do. Doing, feeling, thinking. The question is, what does God want? What does God want to govern us? Our will? Our emotions? Our mind? The reality is that the Lord does not want us to be controlled by our minds, our will, or our emotion. He wants us to be controlled by our spirits. That is what it means to become spiritually mature. Your spirit is the deepest part of you. When you became a Christian, God put His spirit inside you. Something in you changed. You became a new creation. And when you became a Christian, you didn't get a higher IQ. You probably wouldn't score higher on an emotional quotient test either. Your will didn't somehow become stronger, but something in you changed. It changed in the deepest part of you. Jesus came into your life, not in some philosophical way, but in a very spiritual way. His spirit went into your spirit. If you can imagine a rod of iron in a fire, it becomes red hot. The fire is in the iron, and the iron is in the fire, but the fire is not the iron, and the iron is not the fire. Jesus comes into your life. You're not God, but you're changed. And it's from your spirit that God wants you to be governed. But we have a habit of being governed from our mind or our will or our emotions. What does it look like to be governed from your spirit? I got to tell you, it's really hard to describe, but to be spiritually mature is to be a person who is governed by your spirit. Your intellect is still there, and hopefully you are loving God with your mind, and your emotions are still there. Hopefully you're loving God with your heart. Your will is still there. Hopefully you're loving God with your choices. But they have become subservient to the deepest part of you, your spirit, which is hopefully being trained by God's word and His spirit. And out of your spirit, you will know in your core that something is right or wrong. And when something's wrong, you get this check in your spirit. And although you may not be able to articulate it, God will be speaking by His spirit into your spirit. Don't go that way. Or you will receive in your spirit words of affirmation or direction or conviction. Out of your spirit will come love for people that you would not otherwise possess. It is in your spirit where joy and peace reside. There's something deep within you that has a sense of well-being that may or may not be congruent with your circumstances. But living out of your spirit, that has been infused with the Holy Spirit, is hard to describe, but it's what happens as we grow up to spiritual maturity. And the reality is, I don't think that any of us get there without the brokenness that accompanies suffering and by making space for God in the middle of that brokenness. You know, in our church, we sing a song that goes like this: "Blessed be your name in the land that's plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name." It's harder to sing, "Blessed be your name," when I'm found in a desert place, when I walk through the wilderness, "Blessed be your name." But it is those sorts of places where you learn to hear from God. The reality is that very few, if any of us, really seek after a deep, intimate relationship with our Lord, except just before, during, or right after those periods of calamity and catastrophe and suffering and pain. Gene Edwards said, "It is by the crushing of the idols within your inmost temple that he will make room for the geysers of divine life." God has a purpose in suffering. It is to make you spiritually mature, spirit-controlled, full of life. Of course, there are no guarantees in this life. Brokenness can also just lead to bitterness, and that's the opposite of spiritual maturity. And certain kinds of suffering also lead to death. And all I can say is that, you know, if you're going through that kind of suffering, you know, medical stuff is going on and you know that there's a disease in you that's terminal, we believe that God makes all things right in the next life. As our text says this morning, James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Life happens, stuff happens, suffering happens. I want to urge you, don't waste your suffering, but allow God to do what he wants to do in you and through you. Allow him to train your spirit so that you are led by your spirit. Allow him to speak into the core of who you are and bring real life, to break down the idols so that his divine flow of life can flow through you. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for those who are especially going through times of suffering right now, and I'm asking that you, by your Spirit, would bring them strength and comfort, that you would give them a sense that you know what they are going through and that you will walk through them with it. As they endure, I pray that you would produce within them such a great depth of spiritual maturity that they will be able to walk through this life well, regardless of what comes their way. Lord, I ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, if good news in the morning has been a factor in your spiritual journey, I would encourage you to just write us an email. You can contact us via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. We're also on Twitter. And thank you for listening this morning. This program is aired by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. This morning's sponsor, Bruce Newman, salutes Jericho Road Christian Ministries as a local registered charity for their outstanding service to the community. Thank you, Bruce, for working alongside us. And if you can help financially, we would really appreciate your assistance. You can give by going online to goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. My prayer is that you may know Jesus personally and profoundly. May his Holy Spirit do this awesome work within your life, and may your Heavenly Father surround you so that you know his accompanying and abiding love. We're going to go out by listening to the song "Jesus, Lover of My Soul" from Hosanna Music.
From the
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.